to my feet and a light into my bed.
All right. I'm going to tell you, it's a lot different walking out now than it is walking out when we first greet one another. There's a lot more people here now. I want to welcome you here, whether this is your first time, maybe first time in a long time, or even if this is your home. I hope you know I'm glad you're here. We're excited that you're worshiping with us this morning, and I'm really excited. You know, as I write the message this morning, I'm going, you know what? I'm really, really excited about the message, and it's like every message I'm really excited about, you know, and it's like, well, that was last one. Now, this is new. You know, and it's just something I get excited about. I'm working on my next sermon series already. I'm just having a great time. I want to tell you, there's hope in our world, and so it's a lot of fun. And so, but if this is your first time or first time in a long time, or maybe you've been confronted with a question about this book, the book called the Bible. So for the next few weeks, I want us to talk about this book right here. I want us to talk about the Bible, because if you ever went to school, or maybe some of your friends, you mentioned the Bible to them, and they'll, you know, it's a book of myths. You know, they don't believe it's God's word. They, you know, it's stories, most of them made up by writers. You know, and they really don't have a picture of the Bible. And so, you know, I look around and I don't see most of us carrying Bibles anymore. Anybody bring a Bible with you this morning? Okay, I got a few. All right. There's more here than I thought. I'm glad to see you. Because, see, I remember when I went to church, when I was young, got saved, got to become a Christian, I used to ride a motorcycle to work. And I think the Bible kept me from getting a ticket one time. All right, I blew the stop sign. Anybody ever, you guys don't blow stop signs, right? You guys stop at the stop, you know, that red sign means stop. Well, one day I'm flying through a parking lot out of the mall. I'm just going on my way to church. Bible strapped on the back of my bike, and around the corner I go, and I look across the street as I blew that stop sign, and there's a highway patrolman sitting there. So I just pull into the parking lot and wait, because I know he's coming. You know, he gets out, walks around my bike, takes my license, talks to me. I told him, man, I'm stupid, you know, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's around that mall, you know, and so I just blew out of the parking lot. And I said, it really is good. My Bible strapped to the back, doesn't it? He goes, yeah, huh? Then he let me go. I say, all right, maybe the word does work, you know. You know, it does protect you, even from tickets, you know. And so I think about the Bible, and I just don't see that much Bibles anymore. I don't hear conversation about reading the Bible anymore, about spending the time in the Bible. And so I kind of wanted to kind of step back and look at the Bible. Kind of like, you know, how we got it, where it's from, you know, who wrote it. We'll kind of talk about some of those questions. Because I base it on that song we just seen. Look at the scripture right there. Get your little outline out. You can follow along. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119, 105. That this word is really a lamp. And what I hope this morning, and what I'm going to challenge us to do this morning, is to really see the importance of God's word so that you can trust it and read it. When you get done out of here this morning, my prayer has been all week long that when you walk out here this morning, that this morning, starting today and beginning today, you will have a Bible verse a day. That's my goal. That's my objective this morning. That you will understand and trust this word, that it is the inspired word of God, can be a light unto your path and a guide in your life, and that it's worth some investment of your time to read it. This book changed the world. All right? God changed the world. This book, I want you to think about this. You look at our universities today, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. You know where they started? You know why they started? Religious institutions. Can you imagine Harvard being a religious institution today? Princeton? Presbyterian started Princeton. You know? Look at our hospitals today. We wouldn't have the medical facilities we have today if it wasn't for Christianity. If it wasn't for God's word, we wouldn't have all the hospitals we have. Some are even named after. You know, you got the Baptist Hospital in Texas, you know, and you got a My parents went to the Methodist Hospital up in Sacramento. And what I was reading on the internet, the most hospitals, who owns most hospitals? The Catholic Church has nearly 20,000 hospitals. See, if it wasn't for God's word, there's a lot of things that happen because of this word, because of what God has wrote here. Orphanages, feeding thousands of people. See, God's word is, it's powerful, and I want us to spend some time with it. And as I go through this message, I want you to think about, am I reading it? How we got it, where it came from, and who wrote it, and all those kind of, and so that's my goal this morning. But as I do that, I'm thinking about God's word and kind of the history. Kind of goes back. Jesus, Moses walked down. What I said didn't fly the other day when I talked about 15. You guys, I don't know, I missed that. That Moses came down out of the mountains with 10 commandments written on what? Stone, written on tablets. God's word was written on stone. And then pretty soon, God's word was starting to be written on papyri. It's a reed that grows in the Nile, a reed that grows. They'd take this paper, and they'd make paper out of it. I meant to bring one. I got one at home. I meant to bring some papyri for you and show you what it looks like. And they used to make this papyri, and they would begin to write God's word on it. And then they'd roll it up, and they'd call it scrolls. And then they started making it, and they would fold it and start making it and call it codexes, and we call it books. And so we had the books, and then come the 1400s, and we get the, anybody know what happened in the 1400s? All right, somebody's really good. All right, thank you. We got the printing press in the 1400s. It made the Bible available to everyone. The Bible's always been on the front ends of technology. Did you know that? And so guess what I'm going to do this morning? I'm going to put the Bible on the front end of your technology. I want you to get your phone out. Anybody got a smartphone here? Get your smartphone out. Now, some of you already had it out. You were texting, all right? You know, checking your Facebook, right? Some of you probably already had it out, right? You're texting, Facebook. I know some of you Snapchatted because you sent it to me, okay? You know? So I need you to get your phone out. I got a PowerPoint. We're going to show you a little picture here. And I need you to go to, if you have an iPhone, I want you to go to your App Store. If you have the Google, go to the Google Play Store. And I want you to go there. And I want you to search, just type in Bible and search for that Bible called YouVersion. I got it circled for you. You see that there? So take your phone. So no matter what you did this morning, you might have came, well, not with one of these, but if you came with one of these, you came with your Bible, all right? That's what I want. You need to know, while you're doing that, I want you to go there and download that version, all right? It's called the YouVersion. Just to kind of give you my knowledge, I just checked it before I walked up here. There's over 266 million downloads of this Bible. Think about that. The population in America is only, I think, what, 250 million, 270 million, something like that, I think, in America. So I want you to download that app. It looks like that. That's the picture. I don't know, is the next one a picture of it, too? I don't remember what I had next. Now, yeah, there it is. You can see that. But I want you to download that. All right? You can sign on if you want you to get God's Word. See, it comes in handy. I went to a motorcycle blessing. I used to be able to bless. Anybody ride a motorcycle? I went to Harley-Davidson motorcycle blessing in Modesto, and I got to bless motorcycles. You know, you don't bless the bike, you bless the rider, just so you know, but it's called the bike blessing. You know, but I blessed the rider on the bike, and when I showed up a little early, like, you know me, I'm always early, and I'm talking with them, and about a week before, one of their fellow riders got killed in an accident. And they wanted to know, can you say some words? Well, I didn't have my Bible with me, but I had my phone. And I had this Bible on it. And so I just pulled it out, read from the Bible, talked about God and prayed with these mighty, you know the guys with the tattoos? You know, big burly guys? You know, they need prayer too. Did you know that? But I had my Bible with me. I didn't have this, but I had, here's my point. I want you to have both of these, okay? You need a paper Bible, and you need a digital Bible. God's always been, it was stone tablets. That's not God. Well, I'm going to tell you, anybody going to carry around a rock in their pocket with a word on it? You know, I don't know how many, it'd be a lot of rocks. Yeah, and then papyri, you know, the papyrus plant and all of that, you know, so you have a chance to get it. So I want you to download this. If you want, you can sign in now. I'm going to go over this later, but I want you to start it down now. But I want to talk about, why can I trust this? Why should I have this? What's all about this word and God's word? And so if you're looking at your notes, I want to say this, you think about the Bible. It's not one book, but it is 66 books. Now, I'm going to embarrass you guys because I guarantee you, I got some children in Awana that could tell most of you more about the Bible than you know. I mean, these kids in Awana, they learn the Word. And they memorize the Word. They know there's 66 books. I know in Lisa's class, they're getting them all in order. They're saying the books of the Bible. And I know in the over there with Brenda in their class, Dan and them, they're spending time in God's Word. But it's 66 books. We see this as one book, but it's not. The reason we see it as one book is because there's a single story that runs through this book. There's a single runs through this book. It's the thread that God is reaching down from heaven to touch our lives. It runs from Genesis to Revelation. John in his gospel, in that last part of John's gospel, and you got that verse right there. Listen to what John writes as he talks about why he wrote this. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He's saying God has given us this word. God has wrote this down. He says, I've seen this and God inspired me and I wrote these stories. There's more stories out there, but I wrote these for this one single purpose. That you may know that God loves you, sent his son to die on the cross for you. That through a relationship with him, you can spend all eternity with him. That runs from Genesis to Revelation. Look how he said it in Isaiah. This is Isaiah. Now write these on a sign for the people. Write this on a scroll that for days to come, this will be a witness forever. And then we're going to skip down several verses. And it says, this is what the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. If you come back to me and trust me, you will be saved. If you will be calm and trust me, you will be strong. But you don't want to do that. See, it is one book, but it is 66 books. It's all these books, and it's got a simple message. God created this big, beautiful world, a perfect world. And in that perfect world, he placed people with a freedom of choice, and they chose to do things their own way. Anybody in that boat? And I don't know about you. I'm going to do things my way. You can ask the Lord. It's always my way. You know, I don't always get my way with her, but it's always my way. At least that's the first thing. You know, we always want our way. And we mess big, beautiful world. And God didn't say, well, you poor suckers, I'm done with you. God says, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to buy you back. You sold yourself into slavery of sin, and I'm going to purchase you back with the blood of my son. And he chose a people of Israel, to demonstrate that through. And so as you read the Old Testament, it's God showing you the picture. I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to get you. Here's my plan. I see these people. It is one book, but it's 66 books that put this together. And then we turn and we find Jesus born in Bethlehem, who lives and dies on a cross for our sins. He's buried but rises again from the grave. I'm going to tell you, anybody that can predict his death, dies on a cross, rises from the grave, and does it, I'm following that guy. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of people say a lot of things, but man, he said it and did. I'm on his boat. Yeah. And he rose from the grave, and he said he's coming back someday. It's a theme that runs from 66 books, but it is 66 books. I think we get confused about that. That we read it as if it's one book. Yeah, it is one story. But it's 66 books. And if you look at the next point, I said there's 40 authors under 1,600 years. 40 authors. 1,600 years. You see this picture. It's one book. 66 books. 40 plus authors. 1,600 years with the same message. Think about that. Different cultures. Different languages. Different times. And yet the message never changed. Look at what it says. No, for no prophecy recorded in the scripture was ever thought up by the prophet himself. It was the Holy Spirit within these godly men who gave them true messages from God. See, God guided these writers. God guided these authors. God is the author. These guys were the tools. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't think these guys were secretaries who God just created and they wrote. Because you read them, they have their own styles. They have their own way of saying things. It's different times, different cultures. I want you to think about that. That here you have a book with one single theme. From Genesis to Revelation, 40 different guys write it over 1,600 years. Now get a picture like this. Let's say I'm going to choose 10 of you. And I want 10 of you, we're going to go into separate rooms over here. And I want you to write meaning of life. All right, so 10 of you go into these rooms and you just sit in there for an hour. And I want you to write me the meaning of life. And then you bring those back in here and I take those essays up and I begin to read. You think they're all going to agree? Thank you. They're all going to have the same thought. This is the meaning of life. This is how life should be. No. See, as we look at God's word, you need to see the hand of God in this. I mean, you're taking these 40 plus guys. Some of them from Egypt. Raised in Egypt. Taught in Egypt. Some poor fishermen around the Sea of Galilee. One a Greek doctor. Cultures. Languages, Greek, Aramaic, Hebrew, all this. And yet we have the same story. 56 books with the same story that runs from beginning to end. Genesis 3:15, when God began to bring the curse because of sin. He told the serpent, "You will bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head." You go to Isaiah, there's going to be a virgin who gives birth. You go to Matthew, there's a virgin who gives birth. You read the story, and you see there's a single thing. 1,500 years from one of them, 1,500 years before, to one when Jesus was born. 1,500 years. The last book probably written was the Gospel of John. The book of Revelation, right around 100, somewhere in that range. They kind of guess 88, 90, somewhere in there is when it was written. We have this single, can we trust the Bible? You know, it's that inspired word of God. It's God's message for us. And it's true and it's real. And the way the Bible came to be, the way these books were collected. Now, most of the Old Testament was already settled before Jesus, okay? You go back about 300 years before Jesus, and they pretty much got the Hebrew Bible all put together. You know, just if you want to know, that's called Genesis through Malachi, right? Malachi, we'll call him the Italian, okay? So we'll add an Italian to the writers, right? We'll call him Malachi. No, it was Malachi, all right? You know? So we got all these books. That's all set before Jesus even comes along. That's all taken care of. And then Jesus arrives on the scene. That promise of the Savior, Genesis 3:15, Isaiah, I think it's 7:14, if I remember correctly. And then you go into Matthew, and he's born, and then Jesus comes along, and so they start writing letters. They write the biographies of Jesus. It's called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you got Paul writing some letters, letters to the church in Corinth, and letters to the church in Ephesus, and Colossae and Thessalonica. He's writing individuals like Philemon and Timothy and Titus. You know, he's writing all these letters, and they're writing all these documents in the first century. And as they write these documents, they're sending them to the church. And the best picture you can have is there's somebody in Ephesians, in Ephesus, reads that letter to the church in Ephesians. Here's what Paul wrote to us in Ephesians and begins to read that letter. And then somebody, Colossae, up the road says, "Hey, you know what? We got a letter from Paul too." "Well, hey, bring that down. Let's read that one." And then somebody says, "Hey, I got a letter from Thessalonica that Paul wrote. And I got a letter from Philippi that Paul wrote." And all of a sudden, you start pulling the letters together. That's how the Bible came to be. They start pulling these letters together and they start sharing them between churches. It's like, "Hey, it's helping us. Is this helping you?" And all of a sudden, these letters start helping the churches. People always worry. I love the History Channel in some ways. In some ways, I just don't get it. They say books banned from the Bible. Nobody ever banned a book from the Bible. You know what happened? I'll tell you exactly what. They're using the book, and this one's helpful, that one ain't. Let's throw it out. When you read a book, a gospel, there's a guy who wrote a gospel. I'm not going to tell you the name of the gospel, but some guy wrote a gospel, we don't know who wrote it, but he put one of the disciples' name on it. And he talked about Jesus raising the bird from dead. Now, do you really think Jesus is going to raise a bird from the dead? You know, lots of crazy things in these other books, and the guys are going, that doesn't sound like Jesus. And so it wasn't somebody who sat down and said, here's the Bible. The church is using these books, and they keep using these books, and then pretty soon it's kind of like, well, this is the Bible. Some group comes up and says, well, that's it. And so it just kind of pulled the Bible together. 66 books, inspired by God. And that's, if you look at your point, that's my next point on the thing. It says the Bible is the inspired word of God. It's that other verse talking about the Holy Spirit speaking. Here's what it says. All Scripture. How much is the Scripture? All right. Some of the Scripture? No. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching. Now, I don't like this next part. Rebuking, correcting. I don't mind training in righteousness. How about you guys? Can you pick and choose those? I got to take the whole thing. I guess when it says all, I guess it means all then. That God's word is there to guide me. What's that? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Doesn't that kind of say the same thing? Isn't God's word? That said it in Psalms, and now Paul's saying it to Timothy. Man, God is so consistent. You know? It's the inspired. Write the word. That word inspired means God's breathe. That's exactly what that word means. God breathed. God breathed through the Holy Spirit. He guided the hands of these authors. He guided these individuals as they wrote. I want to make sure you get an idea here. Not only did he guide the guys who wrote it, I want to tell you, I think God protected it throughout the centuries. All right? We're going to see that. I'm going to kind of spend some time on that. But it's God. It's a unique book. I began with that for you. It changed our world. Our world would not be the same. Universities would not be the same. Hospitals would not be the same. Caring for orphans would not be the same without this word. It's authoritative. It's powerful. There's something here in God's word. But what I want to make sure I did this morning, I want to make sure there's some external things. Because if you talk to somebody, they're going to say, prove it. Right? Anybody ever have that one? Show me. Prove it. So what I did is I just picked a few from the many. I had some fun doing this. I enjoy this type of thinking, right? This type of debating, yes. Because I do. I enjoy that studying part of it. We're doing a study in one of our home. Matter of fact, I've got two home groups doing the same study. I'm having a blast with it. I don't know how much fun everybody else is having. It's not my wife's favorite, but I'm loving the Truth Project, man. I am having a blast in that. Because I like that thinking and figuring things out. And I love wrestling with that. But I want to tell you, the Bible is God's word, and you need to know something. They have never proven the Bible wrong. You need to understand that. Never proven the Bible wrong. Now, they'll try to prove things to you, but they've never proven the Bible wrong. And so if you look at your outline, I wrote it this way the first time. The text itself is accurate. I can trust the Bible because the text, the words, whether it's here or on my phone, they're accurate. They haven't changed. You know, they're still the same. You know, what's so interesting to me, we'll read the Iliad. People will read Homer. This is what Homer wrote. But then I say, this is what Peter wrote, or this is what Matthew wrote. They'll go, how do you know? And yet, you need to understand this. I have more documented evidence of what Peter wrote than what they have for Homer. Matter of fact, the closest they can get to Homer is 600-700 years. I can 200 years. I can get within 100 years of Jesus saying it through manuscripts. See, that text is true. There's these manuscripts. They wrote it, and it's all over there, and it's true. It hasn't changed. And then I think it was 1947, they found some scrolls called the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, you need to understand that up until this point, They really never had any translations. They had any documents earlier than 200. Now, all of a sudden, we found documents from 300 B.C., 300 years before Jesus. All right? So here's these, I mean, 300 years. So now we're going to be able to correct the Bible, right? Because, you know, people made some changes in it, right? Over the years, people made changes. You know what they did? They pulled all those transcripts, and you got to see it. There's just little pieces. It's real. I got to see it in San Diego and look at the Dead Sea Scrolls. You know what they found? There's no difference. It's the same thing we have today. And if you understand, the Dead Sea Scrolls, it's not just like there's one copy of Isaiah. Just so you know, there's several copies of the book of Isaiah in the Dead Sea. It's not just like there's one. It seems like that might have been a library for what they have. There's only one book in the Bible that's not there. Everything is there from the Old Testament except for one. The book of Esther. You know what's interesting about the book of Esther? God's name's not there. Now, is God involved in Esther? You read it, you know God's there. His just name's not there. That's the only book missing in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And we see this, and God has this. And so the Bible itself, the words, we have manuscripts now that go back to less than 100 years from when the original was written. We have none of the original writings of you or Paul. They don't have enough Homer either. But we have copies. And I'm going to tell you how they made the copies. It's real interesting. The guy would sit there and they would try, you know, they didn't have the printing press, right? When the printing press was 1400s, right? So they would make copies, and the guy would, he would write and he would copy. Anybody ever try to copy something? You ever make a mistake copying? Anybody ever make a mistake trying to copy? Well, you know what they would do? They would copy, and then they would count the letters on the page. And if the letters didn't match up, it wasn't accepted. They would count every letter. Is it the same number of letters? It's easy for you to do today. Just if you have Word on your computer, it'd tell you how many letters on a page. You just have to look. But they would literally count the letters on a page to see if it matched up with how many letters on the original. The mistakes or the errors that you'll find, that there's no doctrine ever at change. Because, you know, here's the Greek. The Greek had two different words for you. I could talk about you as an individual, or I could talk about you as a people. And on another occasion, the guys would be reading it. There'd be a guy up here and the scribe sitting out there reading the word. All scripture is inspired. And they're all writing it down. And they'd come to the word you, and he'd say you, and someone would think you plural, and some would say you singular. Those are the kind of errors I'm talking about when they talk about errors. The text itself shows the hand of God, not only when he wrote it, but taking care of it for all these thousands of years. The next thing I put down here, how about the historical accurate of the Bible? Now, I want to make sure the Bible is not a history book, but the Bible does contain history. And I think this is a fun one for me, because probably the best one as you look at history, you know, we could talk about Roman historians, Tacitus and others. We could talk about Jewish historian Josephus and others. They have, you know, they talk about Jesus, and they affirm many of the things that we read in the New Testament. But archaeology is a real good place to kind of see the historical evidence of the Bible. You know, what's interesting, I was just watching the Smithsonian Channel. Anybody watch the Smithsonian Channel besides me, or am I that weird? Yeah, I'm weird. Yeah, thanks. I watched the Smithsonian, and they just had a show. This has called the Hittites. Now, did you know science and archaeologists and all said the Bible made this myth of people up called the Hittites? They never existed. They were never there. They are a myth people that the Bible writers created. Well, guess what happened? They found the Hittite people in the Syrian area. Can you believe that? They found the Hittite people, you know. They're saying, no, it's wrong. No, it didn't happen. No, they're not. And they find these Hittite people. And it's like, and now I love it because Smithsonian Channel showed it. It's like, hey, in your face. Yeah. That's the kind of guy I am. Like I say, I love that kind of stuff, you know. But, you know, there's another thing that just recently, I'm talking since 2000, there was a pool called, I had to write the name down. I'm probably not going to say it right. Siloam, S-I-L, O-A-M, or I can't write him now. I'm glad I didn't write the Bible. The pool of Siloam. They said that pool, this is where Jesus healed the blind men. And they go, never not there. The Bible's wrong. We can't find it. 2004, some guys are digging and repairing a sewer line, and guess what they found? Just where John said it was. That's what the professor at Princeton said. It's just where John said. Right there is the pool. You know, go back a few decades earlier, back in the 40s, I think it was, they said the pool of Bethesda didn't exist, and all of a sudden they found that one. The five portico pool, where the lame man was healed. You know? Historically, the written word, the battles, the kings, all these individuals, it's seen it and it's written. And we need to see that in the historians. And so the Bible is, it's not a history book, and I'm not going to take it as a history book. And I love, we just seen in our truth project, the guy just did a great study on how to do the dating, because sometimes the dating makes it hard to figure out. But Dale Tackett in the truth project kind of figured that out for us, and so does how they do the different dates, and how the culture works. See, it's God's word. It's the text is accurate, the historical accurate. How about science? Now I want you to know something. We have this image out here that Christianity is anti-science. I love science. Computer science is the best, okay? Well, real close. I mean, because I love my computer, right? I'm not going to marry it, but I enjoy my computer. You know? I want to tell you, I enjoy medical science. I really appreciate medical science. I take a pill for hypertension. Anybody else have to take some pills? You know, aren't you glad we have science? You know, aren't you glad there's those biologists and those chemists and those science people who can give us the medicines we need? I'm not anti-science. But I think science can teach us a lot of things. It was interesting, as I was looking this up, I typed in the Big Bang Theory and Christianity, found a couple of professors, and I was reading this one lady professor wrote a really good book on it and wrote all this stuff on it, and she worked at ESA. She worked with the Hubble telescope, and she did all those kinds of things, And so I'm reading about her, reading about her book. Guess where she teaches? California Baptist University. I'm going, all right, that's my school. You know? And she teaches engineering there. And so I, you know, it's kind of like, hey, that's cool. You know? And then I watch this other professor. You know what this professor said? Here's these, you know, everybody says, this science, if you don't agree with this, you can't be a science. Here's this science professor recognized worldwide going, Big Theory explains God's word. Bang, and God said it happened, and it happened. And he goes, when you have a beginning, you got to have a beginner. Because he was talking about, how does something come from nothing? That's my biggest question for science. How does something come from nothing? I mean, when you got, I'm going to tell you, when I have no money. And it ain't going to fall from heaven. I can't sit there, okay, God, money. And there it is. It just showed up. You know, if you ain't got none, you ain't got none. There was nothing. And out of the chaos of nothing, God created a world. That's a big bang. I mean, it's really, I heard this professor, I can send you an article, if you ever want an article, I can send you. He's sitting there talking about how this all, and he's got this cone. It was out of my league, okay? I can't spell, much less understand all that science stuff. But he had the cone and talking about how thing comes into something, and here's the science saying, hey, the Bible's okay. The Big Bang Theory's okay. You know, it all fits with God's plan. You know, that lady wrote the book. I'm just going, this is awesome. You know, and it was interesting to read and to see that. And then I went on, I looked at DNA. You know? Do you know one cell in your body has, I wrote this down, 3 billion letters. They go from A, I wrote it down, A, J, G, C, or A, T, G, C. 3 billion, one cell in your DNA. 3 billion. How does that happen? By accident? You know what? You know, here's what that lady scientist says. For this world to come from nothing, it's 10 to the 280th power. That means you go 10 times 10, which is 100, times 10, which is 1,000, times 10, I'm not going to keep going, put 280 zeros past. I don't know how big that number is, but that's the chance. One of the articles I read, the chance of it happening by accident is like you went out every day and bought a lottery ticket and won for 50 years. Is that going to happen for anybody here? That you can go out and buy a lottery ticket today for 50 years and win every day. That's the chance of this world just popping up out of nothing. See, for me, science, and I want you to, I said affirm, because I'm not going to say proves. I don't think science proves anything. I think science is a guess. I mean, if it proved everything, I always look at that. To me, the funniest thing is Pluto. Now, I'm not talking about the dog at Disney, although I like him. I got my picture with him, too. You know, I'm talking about the dwarf, I don't know, what is it anymore? See, to me, science doesn't prove. It's trying to figure things out. And I'm glad it does. I wanted to stay on the medical edge. I want to live a long time. How many of us, I can remember sitting and watching the news when the first heart transplant happened. Dr. Bernard in South Africa, wasn't it South Africa? Am I right? Some of you guys, but thank you. In South Africa, if I remember right, I can remember that. I'm glad of science, man. I appreciate science. My dad has an artificial heart valve. But science doesn't disprove God. It affirms God. There's something bigger out there. And so I wanted to drive this home for you. You can trust God's word for centuries. 40 writers plus. 1,600 years, 66 different books with a single theme, a red string that runs through it all. You can trust it, but do you read it? And that's what I want to challenge us with. Do we read the Bible daily? It says again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, read it. Spend some time with it. Spend some time in it. If you want God's word to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, you need to spend some time with God's word. So now again, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your phones out. You got them? Some of you are still playing with them, right? All right. You got your phone out, right? You downloaded that app, right? You guys got that app downloaded? All right, it should, if you click on it, if you've signed in, it should look like this. There we go. Look, that's my front page. Don't that look good? That's my front page. See, there's my Bible app. Click on it. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you some today, all right? So you got your phone out. I don't see a lot. Get your phone out. Download the app. Click on the app. That's what opened it. I had only, just how bad I am, this isn't my only devotional app. I've already only had 3 days in it. I got 6 days. 6 days I've opened it. It'll tell you when you mess up, okay? You know, I've read it 6 days in a row now. I've opened this app up 6 days in a row. And so I want you to download. You might have to sign in. Take some time to sign in, all right? Some of you already had this on your phone, right? Nod your head if you already had it on your phone. All right. So now you have that. So now I want you to push at the bottom of it. I have it circled. I want you to push the Bible book right there. And when it pushes, it'll say read. See what it says? All right, push that. See where I got it circled there at the bottom? Push where it says, and then read pops up. Everybody got that? All right. So you got where it says read. So you can read. Yes. If you don't know, here's the thing. See where it says ESV? Push that. I don't know what yours says. And download a version. You can pick one. I chose the ESV version. And you can download it right to your phone. So you have one when you don't have access, you can have it. It won't use your data time. All right? So choose one. I can choose. I got Holman. I've used King James. I use NLT. But I chose ESV, English Standard Version. NIV is another good version. I've kind of got away from that and started going with the English Standard Version. So I pushed that. And so you can download it. All right? And then you go back to the Bible. Then where it says at the top, is everybody okay with me now? Everybody keeping up with me? Nope. All right. So now you push for it. That mine says Philippians. That says John. You push that, and you just follow it. Pick a chapter. You can pick John. I had Philippians. I was reading Philippians. I can slide down to John. That little thing comes up. John comes up. I push John. Then you just push the verse you want. I'm going to push 3, and I'm going to push 16. Just follow it right on through in John 3:16. All right? Isn't this a good class? So I got John 3:16. Now, if you touch that verse, it'll underline it. All right? Then once you underline it, you see the little things underneath it? See the little yellow dot? If you push that yellow dot, it'll highlight it for you. And then later on, I'll show you where you can bring those back up, all your highlighted verses back up. But look what else you can do to it. See that one? I'll talk about that. I think I have another sale on that one. We'll find out. But you can highlight it. All right? Let's see what we got next. What do we have next coming up? Oh, there it is. Yeah, see the one that says image? You can take that verse. You push image. You can take that verse, put a background to it. Fine-tune it, move it around, have tons of backgrounds to choose from, and you can email that. You can post it to your Facebook account. You can share the Word of God with a nice picture to your family, friends, by just pushing image. Really nice little thing you can do. All right, what else do we have? Oh, now, this is the important one, all right? That's the reading part. See that little thing with all those little check marks in it? Push that. And when you push that, you get Bible reading plans, devotionals. I'm reading one right now, Lead Like Jesus, 21 Days of Leadership. I chose that one. And if I click on it, if you click on that, that's what comes up. I'm on day 14 when I made this snapshot, the screenshot of my phone. I made that. All right, and so today I'm on, what day am I on today? 17th. I did 17th. It's September the 3rd, so I did the 17th. All right, what do we got next? Let's see what else I put on there. Oh, discovery. Now, this is the fun part. Before you leave here, you're going to pick one. If you pick discovery, if you go there, you can pick a devotional plan for you. All sorts. You want. I did one on leadership. If you go down, there's some for teenagers, there's some for prayer, there's some for forgiveness, there's some for faith, there's some for dating. Ooh, there's a good one, dating. Not even for some of you. Addictions, worship, women, men, youth, kids. There's all sorts of devotion, hundreds of devotionals. Pick one. And then if you do it right, and you click on notifications later, it'll tell you, you better get up in the morning and read it. All right? You can pick one. And you can find one. All right? Now, am I going too fast? I got to get it back up there. All right. Now, if you look at the bottom, you got those, what is it, three lines? One, two, yeah, three lines. If you click on those three lines, I want to show you something. You click on your three lines and click on events. All right, when you click on events, that was shot a few weeks ago, but right now, the only one up there on my phone right now is our church. All right, my sermon outline, the notes, this note right here is right here on your phone. You can click on that, and there's the sermon outline for today's message with the scriptures and the blanks. If you click save, you can save it to your phone, and you can take notes right here on this. You don't need my paper. If you click save, you can take notes right here on your phone and keep it with you on your phone. If I just clicking that, that's what pops up. So you can follow that. You can follow our church every Sunday, wherever you're at. You can see what I'm preaching, and what you can do. Just to give you a hint, you can take this. If you're not here, go to our link that links up the camera that's up there. It's not the best picture, but you can watch the church online and take notes wherever you're at. You're gonna watch Gary. Isn't that good to watch Gary? Yeah, thanks. I've got somebody at least says yay. All right, what else do I have to share? Oh, then you click the people thing. Oh, that's a good one here. Let me get that. Let me get back to that. I always use the back arrow. It's me. It's all about me. All right. And so you can update it. Did that help? I want you guys to get this. I want you to read this, you know, because if you go back to that main screen, if you go back to the first screen, and you click, there's a bell right there at the top. I didn't put this there. I should have. You can get notifications that tell you that you're supposed to read it. And just in case you don't like reading, it will read it to you. All right? It will read it to you. You don't. You just got to push a button. Do you know there's like 1,400 translations on here? And it's in over, I think, 1,600 different languages. And it's a free app. And so I just wanted to give you this because I want you to read it. And what's nice is, just so you know, there's a place here where you have friends. And I am friends with Meg Turner and Mark Kurtz and Lisa and June and Delmyra are some of my friends on my phone app for the YouVersion Bible. They sent me things through it. I got several through for Megan through here that Megan has sent me. She liked a verse a couple of times. So I want to make sure. You need both of these. Is that okay? Am I okay? You need both of these. If you go in front of the, if you go to the office during the week, this box sitting on my desk in front of the computer. I'm working on my sermon. I'm reading the computer. I'm working on this. I'm working on my computer Bible. I even got my phone out sometimes looking for a verse because I'm not that smart to remember where they're all at because I can search for them. But I wanted you to have this tool because I want you to read it every day. That devotional on leadership that I'm reading, you know how long it takes me to read that? 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Now, I'm going to tell you, honestly, that's not enough time for me in the Bible, just so you know. I want some more time, all right? But at least I know 2 minutes. Now, I'll choose another one. I'm already getting set up because I'm looking at it doing another message series coming up as the new year starts. I've been talking with some others, something about Goliath that must fall. And so there's an app for that, a seven-day app. There's a seven-day devotional for that. And I was looking at that as one of the devotions I might do next. But there's all sorts of devotions. So you just do one and pick another one the next. Here's the thing. I grew up, when I became a Christian, I was told, read 5 chapters of the Bible a night. I did that. I've been told to read the whole Bible through in a year. I've done that several times. But you know what I begin to realize now as a pastor? You know what I want from you? I'll tell you what I want from you. I want you to read it until you get a message from God. It might be one verse. If you just read one verse and God said something to you, hallelujah, praise the Lord, let's party. But if you had to read a chapter until God said something for you, you read that chapter. I don't care if it takes you 100 years to read the Bible. That when God talks to you, it's the inspired word of God. It's trustworthy. One book, 66 different books, 40 authors, 1,600 years. One single theme. God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. That you can come and live with him for all eternity. Isn't that a wonderful message? And that's the message God wants for you. But I want you to read it. You know, as I look around today, and I just don't think we're reading the Bible. I just don't think we're spending time in the Bible. We just kind of take it for granted today. It's kind of like it's there. You know? But I want it to be more than just there. So can I challenge you for this week to pick one of those devotionals and do it? Just pick one. I don't care where you're at. Pick one. I'm doing this one on leader. It was great yesterday. I loved yesterday's. Today's was good, but yesterday's really spoke to me more than today's did. Sometimes it's going to speak more than other days. Is that okay? But you've got to read it. So today we're kicking off this message series on the Bible. And I'm challenging you to read it. Now, most of those devotionals are going to be more than 7 days. Matter of fact, you might want to do it because we got just so you got 31 days. Maybe find one that's 30 days. Because we're going to spend this next 30 days as we go through the month of October, of September. We're going to talk about the Bible. And so we're going to just kind of see next week. I think next week is how to read the Bible. How do you read it? And so how do you read it? We're just going to get down to the nitty gritty. So I just want to challenge you this morning. Will you read his word? It's a message of God's love. That invisible line you hear me talk about in week out, that there's a point in our life where we got to realize, you know what? If I keep living my way, it's not going to be a good life. If I keep going my way, it's not going to always turn out well. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come in my life and take control. That's the message from Genesis to Revelation. That's the message God has for you. Will you read it? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and for your truths. That you guided men of old. You did. You inspired them. You breathed the word of life. And they scripted it for us. Thank you for protecting it and preserving it and bringing it forth in so many different ways. Whether it's here in the papers or in the digital, that your word is alive and real. It touches hearts and encourages life. Thank you, Lord, for your word. You know, as we're praying about, you're going to accept my challenge to read, at least for the week and maybe for the month, at least a devotional. 2 minutes a day is basically it. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? If you're going to accept that challenge, would you raise your hand? Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I ask you to bless those who are making a commitment to spend time each day this week and maybe longer. To spend time in your word, Lord. Lord, that if they choose, that the words that you bring forth out of the scriptures will be words that they need to hear. Whatever battle, whatever burden, whatever situations they find their life in, the circumstances, that you'll give a devotion to them that will speak to their heart and encourage their life and inspire them and strengthen them. Lord, I ask that your word will be alive and real as they spend time with it this week. Help them fulfill that commitment. Make time. Give them insight. Give them wisdom as they spend with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pause into our service, a time of prayer. I'm here to pray with you. I don't know what. And like I say, God's word is trustworthy. And I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you've never crossed that invisible line and you need to make that decision this morning. Maybe you crossed that line and maybe the line hasn't been very good and you're hurting right now. There's some battles and some burdens in your life that you need some prayer with and you need God's word to touch. You can come and I can pray for you about that. So other needs in your life. I don't know, but this is time for God to speak to your heart, to speak to your life. And I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share in this journey with you. So this is your time to respond to God's word. So I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to sing. And as we sing, you come as the Spirit leads and we'll give God the glory and honor. So would you stand and you sing and come as the Spirit leads. Amen. It's going to be seated right where you're at. Again, I say it every week, but I truly take it as an honor to share God's word with you. It is truly a privilege, but I want to hear back from you. You got a chance to hear from me. In your worship folder is that little blue card. Take a few minutes to fill it out. Maybe there's a need. Maybe there's a concern. Maybe there's a burden or a battle. I don't know, but it's your way to communicate with me. Maybe there's some question about something I said, but take a few minutes to fill that out for me. That's your communication card for me. I'm the only one who reads them. Then they get shredded up. But if you take a few minutes to fill them out, I would appreciate it. And then just drop it in the offering bag with the gifts. I'm going to invite our ushers forward. That one of them will lead us in a word of prayer, and we'll give God the glory and the honor this morning.
it's this Thursday, so if you don't have any of your children in it as of now, get them involved. It's a lot of fun. And also with that, we also have a meeting for anyone who's involved in a walnut or would like to be involved. I know we always need helpers, always need people to step up and want to be leading. And so they're having a meeting very quickly, right? And the conference room, right? So make sure to stay for that just a little bit, find out what's new, what's going on. Our generation of week has been on a hiatus for the last couple of months, but we are starting up again. So I know Lauren is so excited back there. We're getting together this Friday at Maso. If you have questions, let me know. This is for all the ladies of our church. And we usually say starting around 12 years old and 102, I don't care. Come on and join us. We have a lot of fun. We do devotion, watch a movie. We have some great conversations. So I want to encourage the girls, if you're interested and you want to be a part, be here. It's a lot of fun. I have a quick video for you real quick. Check this out.
Now, Operation Christmas Child, start in your own living room. When a person packs the shoebox and they pray for the child who's going to get that box.
Father, thank you so much for the privilege that you've given us to be able to pack Operation Christmas Child.
When we pray, God takes your gift, your box, and he begins to navigate it around the world, and it ends up in the hands of a child. And then those prayers that you prayed for that child, God begins to answer those prayers. And every year we see millions of children put their faith and their trust on Lord Jesus Christ.
Aquí hay un regalo para ti. Cuando yo tenía 6 años, yo recibí una cajita de esa. My name is Luis Gonzalez. Growing up in Panama was very difficult. I didn't have a dad. Having a single mother wasn't easy either. Living in poverty made my life even harder, and I was begging my mom, please send me to school.
Cuando llegó el tiempo de que él tenía que entrar a la escuela, le dije a Luis que orara porque no tenía los útiles escolares.
The next day, a friend of mine invited me to the church. They were giving us boxes. When I opened my shoebox, all of the school supplies that I needed to go to school was inside my shoebox. That was the first gift I ever received.
Oré al Señor y él contestó mis oraciones.
In Operation Christmas Child, we hear of these miracles happening all around the world. The child that receives the pair of orthopedic shoes that he has needed all his life, or the child that's prayed for some tools for their dad, and the box, and there's a hammer or a measuring tape. The child that has prayed just to know that somebody loves them. And they open a shoebox, and there's a note just saying, hey, we love you. Jesus loves you.
The most important thing that we can put in a box is prayer. Pray for the child who's going to get your box. The big impact at the end of the day is lives that are changed. Children are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. So keep praying. We need your prayer, and the children of the world, we need your prayer.
Already started.
All right. Yeah, the devastating Harvey devastated the South, and even up further than the South, up into Kentucky in that area. And we need to serve them. The mission is disaster relief. We have a group here in California called Disaster Relief, and they travel all over to tragic situations and disasters. They haven't left yet. I've read on it. I'm checking it out this morning and following up. They haven't left yet. But we have trailers, serving trailers. They have trailers for showers. They have all cleaning, washing clothes. They have trailers set up with washing machines. They drive into these areas. The gifts that you give, go to that. But you can also give straight to disaster relief. If you go to California Southern Baptist Convention, CSBC, and you go to their website, you can give straight to disaster relief. And so you can do that. So there's an envelope there to help support the overall for that. Also, if you're like me, I wanted to give to Harvey. I don't know about you, but I wanted to give. And I know of a pastor in a church in Houston, Texas, Second Baptist Church. Pastor's Ed Young. I've known him. I've seen him. I've heard him. He's part of our convention. And so in your worship folder, I put their webpage. I called them this week. They have, if you just go to their webpage, second.org, just second.org, you go to their webpage, they have a fund that you can give right to flood relief, to right to Houston. They have a lot of other organizations. There's a lot of good organizations. I don't want to take it away from anybody. But there's a lot of good. But I wanted it to go to somewhere right in the middle of it. You know, I think J.J. Watts, a Houston football player, $17 million, awesome. You know, they're doing great work. But I wanted to help a church because I know what it's like being a pastor of a church and you have that disaster right there. It's nice having resources for your people. And so I chose Second Baptist Church. They have a bunch of churches in the area affiliated with. Just so you know, it's like a 60,000-member church. And they have mission sites all around the church. So if you want to give to them, just second.org, you can give to them. But find some way to give. I was talking with Chris earlier. I don't know why I said Kim. I was talking to Chris earlier. Her family's in Kentucky, and they've had floods. And so maybe you might want to find a church that's close. I just, like I said, I like the local church because I know what it's like being a pastor when you have a tragedy like that. And you have people to help that some of these other organizations have missed for some reason. And they do a great work, but somehow people get missed. And so I just wanted to go to that church. So if you're looking at it, Second Baptist Church, I sent them money yesterday, and I just told them I'm going to see what my church does. So if you guys want to go, just go to that page. But California Baptist Disaster Relief, Texas Baptist Disaster Relief, these organizations that go, I want to go down there and serve. Just so you know, I'd love to go to Houston and go down there and serve. They don't just need the help right now. They're going to need the next year. And so my goal is that some way in the next year, I get to go to Houston or maybe Kentucky. I don't know about Kentucky. But, they have bourbon, don't they? Never mind. I'm bad. Excuse me. But I'm glad. I just wanted to share that with you. Oh, boy. Let's stand. Let me close with a prayer. I'm going to keep talking. Thanks for being here. I'm sorry. Thanks for being here. Find some way to support. Like I say, if it wasn't for Christianity, the colleges, the hospitals, the universities, we make it the world. And I want to be a part of that. Lord, I thank you for these who've gathered this morning. This is your place. This is your house. We've worshipped you. Now, as we leave, we're not leaving you. You're walking with us through those doors. As we said in our prayers, guide us and spend time with us as we spend time with you. And lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, that we may give glory to your kingdom and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this last song.
Strength arises.
God bless you guys. Have a great week. I'm going to. God bless you guys.
Linda came back here, she clicked the...
Because it was still flickering on stage when after she did that.
Yeah.
And then, but it was okay now.
Yeah.
When we did
well,
the rotation.
She turned this off, brought it back up the program.
Right.
And then they still flickered during the first... So she just turned them off completely, you know. And then Linda came back here when Gary first came out.
Okay.
She turned them off for, I don't know, 5 minutes or so, turned it back on. The breakers,
yeah.
And then we brought it back up, and it worked. So, yeah, kind of strange, but.
Somehow, I know Lou Giglio's church uses the same ones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was watching one of his videos, and it had the exact same ones we have in the background.
Yeah, and there's no reason that,
I don't know if it's a grounding thing or...
I would imagine so.
Sometimes you know, that. Okay. Oh, this is for the...
Thank you. I'm looking at it going on. See you guys next week.
All right.
Okay, this is for the... Yeah, he's going to put the...
Oh, I have to lay it
out
there, yeah.
Oh,
you do?
Okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
So,
this is
Randall. Okay. I'll just take it into the room for me.
Oh, I figured I was going to take it home with Megan.
Okay.
Unless you guys wanted to drop by her apartment. But.
This line, and the river has some new ones. And I hate it when they change it, like, so totally that we took that for a while. So, yeah. So, I'll let you know. I know. And I just think to myself, it's silly because it's always going to be good. But I was like, it's just like my favorite color already. I don't like it anymore. You know that?